This is a Keystone Conversation with Governor Tom Wolf, focused on the issues affecting Pennsylvanians every day. Now, from our studios overlooking the Capitol in Harrisburg, this is Bill Meade.
And once again, we welcome Governor Tom Wolf, this time not in person, but on the phone. It's the first conversation we've had since the entire COVID-19 situation really hammered Pennsylvania the way it has. It's good to have you on again, Governor.
Thanks, Bill. It's always good to be with you, even remotely.
So you're calling from home today, right?
I am.
And that's where you've done a lot of your addresses to the entire state has been from, I guess, one of your office or your study there at your house in York. So you're
in my living room and be doing another one this afternoon. So, yeah, I've done a couple up in Pima, the Emergency Management Agency building. And I did one in the reception room up in the Capitol, but again, very isolated and practicing social distancing there and every whenever I do this. So it's where we live in a different era, different world.
That's for sure. And when you're at Pima, I guess, I don't know how large the area is where you're working there, but you have to practice social distancing as well, correct, when you're there?
So, yeah, social distancing and wear a mask too.
Yeah,
I have taken the mask off when I speak, but other than that, I'm wearing a mask up there. And when people are here in my house, I wear a mask too. If there, sometimes there'll be two people or three people doing the remote, and if they come in the house, I put my mask on.
Oh, right, because they're state employees who come to set up the camera and everything.
Right, yeah. Right, and they're wearing masks too. So
yeah,
well, new world.
As we're recording this, it's the 15th of April, Wednesday, and as of today, I'm wondering if you're surprised by where Pennsylvania is when it comes to how many COVID-19 cases we have had. Did you expect more or less? Are the models tracking things pretty accurately, or what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, when we first did this, we were expecting a lot more, and the curve that everybody was talking about and still is talking about was exponential. We were doubling every day in terms of the new cases. And had we continued at that pace, we would have overwhelmed our healthcare system weeks ago. But we have not been doing that. And people in Pennsylvania have really been doing a phenomenal job, so that even in our hot spots in the southeast part of the state and the northeast part of the state, we are in a much flatter rate. There are still new cases every day. But the rate of increase is flattened out. Now, I think it's too early to claim victory, but that's a good thing. And what that has meant is that we track that, but we also track the inventories of critical material that our hospital system needs. And the concern, of course, everywhere in the United States was that if we kept going at the exponential rate that things started out with, it would quickly overwhelm the capacity of the healthcare system to deal with it. That's what happened in Italy and Spain and I think parts of even New York. And we just didn't want that to happen here. And so we have been successful. We could use a few more gowns. We could use a few more surgical masks, but we're in pretty good shape. Where other states were scrambling for things like ventilators and N95 masks and beds and all that kind of stuff. So far, I'm knocking on wood here, so far we have been able to stay within the capacity of the healthcare system. And that's why we've done the very sacrificial, hard things that we've done in Pennsylvania. But I think that, again, no one's claiming victory. No one is raising the flag here and hooping and hollering, but I think we're all at a point where we're saying, this is working. Let's keep at it, and we looks like we might make it through.
I guess it was about a week ago or so you signed an executive order that which allows Pima to shift things like ventilators or masks or whatever's required if one area needs it and another area has a surplus. Has that been required yet?
No. I mean, I think as the hospitals pointed out, they were doing that for the most part, doing that voluntarily, which is great, and I applaud them for that. This was just to be really held in reserve to say if we ever got to the point where, you know, we have a surplus in one area of the state and they're sort of hoarding it because they don't want to give it up. And we actually need it in another part of the state that is facing, more cases. I want to reserve the right to say, now, come on, you share them with the part of the state that needs it. And if you do that, if it ever comes that you need it and we have a surplus somewhere else, I'll make sure you get it too. But so far the health system, and they were doing this before, and my assumption was they would keep doing it, and they have, but it's just something to be held in reserve. But they're doing a phenomenal job of keeping the supplies where they're needed most.
And as things stand now, it's mostly the sort of the eastern quarter of the state, so Lancaster through Reading, Metro Philly, up through the Lehigh Valley and the Poconos, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure Lancaster is quite as hot a spot as the others. Berks County has gotten hot. Montgomery County, the southeastern Collier counties, and City of Philadelphia in the Lehigh Valley. Luzerne County has been a hot spot. Monroe County in the Poconos. So, yeah, those are the areas that have been hardest hit. Right now, the growth curve is flattened more in Philadelphia and the Collier counties. I mean, it's still going up, but at a slower rate. It's going up at a slightly higher rate, but still pretty flat in the Northeast. So, you know, while we're not declaring victory yet, but we're making some good progress.
And are you able to track electronically or in other ways how good a job people are doing when it comes to social distancing and following the stay at home order that you've rolled out across the entire Commonwealth? In other words, is the entire state sort of doing about as good as everywhere else, or are there some areas that are doing better?
Yeah, I think I think there's a group called Unicast that does this using cell phones, and they can sort of track on a real-time basis how people are doing. And Pennsylvania's doing pretty well. I mean, there's some parts of the state where we could do better. And there are parts of the state that are getting on our best days. We've actually been in the A category. On our worst days, we've had some areas that have been less than that. So we do track that, but that's imperfect because not everybody has a cell phone. But it's an indication. I think the real indications are the number of new cases, the death rate. I think the number of cars you see, the number of people out walking around. The streets are empty, and we're in a different time. I think the message is the people of Pennsylvania are really making an effort here, and it's having a real positive effect.
I'd like to ask you about the businesses that are closed, non-essential, as they're labeled. The House on Tuesday passed a bill that would end your list of life-sustaining businesses and what's allowed to be open. There's been criticism that in practice there are some retailers, for example, who are allowed to operate while others who do or sell the same thing are not. What do you say to those criticisms?
I don't think there's anybody in this state or in this country who would not prefer to have it that every business was open and we were just all doing what we did normally. The problem is that you can't do that. What we're finding with the essential businesses, in the food supply chain, for example, for processors, producers, it's some of them are actually closing down. They're not able to process the dairy products. Chicken farms are having a problem taking their chickens to market because the processors don't have the capacity. And the reason they don't is because employees are afraid to come to work. And consumers are afraid to go to shop. And I think if you just sort of said, okay, let's make a political decision here, we're just going to open the businesses, I don't think it would work. I'm not sure the owners would open in many cases. If they did, I'm not sure employees would come to work. I mean, even Amazon is advertising right now for daily work, instant hiring. You come and show up at a warehouse and they'll hire you, and they'll even drive you to work free with Uber. So, I think what we're seeing is a general, divide between the instinct, the desire that we all share to get back to work and get back to normal as quickly as possible, and the reality that this virus is going to determine the time for us. So I applaud the General Assembly for wanting to do what we all want to do, and that is get back to work. But, you know, unfortunately, we've got to sort of abide by the timetable set down by the COVID-19 virus rather than any other, sort of fiat or law that we want to pass. It is what it's going to be.
So some of the sectors we've heard from, for example, auto dealers, they say that they can sell and deliver cars to customers without breaking social distancing guidelines. Real estate agents are saying that construction crews are being told they can't work, but they say they can and do it safely. Do you think that there might need to be another look at some of those types of businesses?
Well, you know, we've already done that. I mean, that Pennsylvania, I think when we did it, we were the only state. Maybe there are a couple others that have done it since, but we actually said, okay, here's the North American Industrial Classification list, and you're essential or you're not essential. And it was in the pretty crude categories. And so we said, let's apply some common sense. I mean, we're Pennsylvania. We're a common sense state. So we put into place a waiver process. And we've got 1 million businesses in Pennsylvania, and about 42,000 of them applied for waivers. And a little under two-thirds either got a waiver or said, you know, you actually didn't need to, you're okay. And a little over a third were denied. So that's like 12,000 businesses out of 1 million businesses were denied. We tried to do everything we could to make this as common sense of the process as possible. I'm sure there's always a disagreement as to whether we made or the Department of Community and Economic Development in this case made the right decisions. But again, what we're all trying to do is keep people as separated from each other as we possibly can. Because in doing that, that's how we're going to defeat this virus. This is a very contagious disease, and people come together for whatever reason. We're just increasing the ability of this disease to spread. To the extent we don't congregate, to the extent we take every opportunity to say we're going to stay home, and people do that, we actually are reducing the likelihood of contagion. So, yeah, I sure. There are businesses out there that can make claims and say, you know, we ought to get an exemption. But the point is, let's all hunker down. Let's get this through this as quickly as possible, and then we can all start getting back to work. And let's forget about making distinctions here. Let's do the right thing. Let's stop the spread of this disease, and then let's figure out how we're going to get back to work.
I'd like to ask you about the deal that was reached this week with half a dozen other states here in the Northeast to take a regional approach to how society sort of gets back up and running as the pandemic continues. What was the thought behind that, to do it regionally as opposed to state by state?
Well, let me just say, first of all, it's not that we're all binding ourselves to some regional compact. We're all simply recognizing that as each of us goes about the work of figuring out how we're going to reopen our states, we've got to recognize that we're all part of a region. And if New Jersey is going to do something in New Jersey, it might make sense for Pennsylvania to at least think about what New Jersey is going to do so that we aren't at odds. You look at places like Philadelphia, and we're just across a very narrow river. Delaware isn't that wide in most parts. But even in Philadelphia, where it is wide, the Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce has members from Delaware, the state of Delaware, state of New Jersey, as well as Pennsylvania. So that council is really just a recognition, again, that as we go about the task of figuring out how each of us is going to reopen, this is an opportunity for all of us to learn from each other what they're doing so that maybe we have a second thought, or maybe we learn something new about what one of these other states is doing. And that's pure and simple what this is about. Pennsylvania, we are doing our own reopening plan, and the Secretary of Policy is chairing that. But in the meantime, I really want to know what states around me are doing. I mean, I communicate with the federal government, with the vice president and the president on numerous calls, communicate with other governors through the National Governors Association calls, have one again coming up today. And so, you know, these are the kinds of things that I think any responsible person anywhere should be looking at. What are other folks doing here, and what can we learn from that? But in the end, Pennsylvania is going to be working according to its own plan, and the Secretary of Policy is working with members of the business community, members of public servants, members of the healthcare community, to make sure that we do what's right for Pennsylvania.
As you know, the president wasn't very happy, at least initially, that governors seemed to be taking control. Now, of course, you were the ones that shut down the states originally.
It seems to me that we had the right to shut it down. So, and he gave us that responsibility. Said, you know, we and I think the federal government has been very consistent in saying, you know, this you do what you're going to do, and we'll back you up. So this was sort of a surprise. I think he just had a press conference where he said, no, the governors actually do have the responsibility for doing that.
So he seems to have changed his mind on that.
I think this is what he just said. So I think he's okay on this.
Let's discuss the unemployment numbers. We're seeing stats that are really of nightmare proportions. I'm sure you never thought you'd see jobless cases ramp up so high and so quickly as we've seen the past few weeks. There have been issues. We've heard from listeners who say they've been trying to get through on the phone or online for days and days and days and couldn't because of the volume. Has that been sorted out, or are there still people who are unemployed and haven't been able to actually register yet?
We knew we were going to be inundated, but we were surprised by how many. I think we've had 1.3 million initial claims in the last couple of weeks. So we have been working night and day to try to expand our capacity. We've done this in two ways. One, we've invested in new technology. We actually have bots now, so that you can use our chat facility and get in online, and we keep figuring out ways to improve that. We're moving, in the next couple of days, 100 new people, annuitants, people who have retired or coming back. We're shifting people from other offices in the Labor and Industry Department, and we'll keep working. It's something that I track every day. What is the wait time? And it's long, and it's unacceptable. And so we need to do a better job. I recognize that. And I think the new system, you know, we've tried to make some changes, and so has the federal government. I waived here in Pennsylvania the 1 week waiting period. You no longer have to wait a week to file for your initial unemployment compensation claim. The federal government, the CARES Act, has added $600 to whatever your normal unemployment compensation payment is going to be. They've added another $600 per week. Lots of money is already going out. According to this, we will continue to do everything we can to turn these things around more quickly. One of the issues was that the old traditional unemployment compensation program did not have a place for gig workers, you know, like Uber drivers and people who are their sort of own individual contractors. The new system under the CARES Act will, and the government, federal government, has an April 24th deadline as to when they want their gig system to be up and running. We're aiming actually for this Friday, so the day after tomorrow, the 17th of April, a week early, to get ours up and running. And that may have been part of the problem, too, that some of the folks in the gig economy were trying to get unemployment compensation benefits, and they just weren't eligible yet. Now they are. They will be as of Friday, and we'll have a separate system to process them. So let me first of all acknowledge that we have been overwhelmed, and that in this, as in other cases, we're doing everything we can to catch up.
We've heard from some county leaders across the state that they would like to conduct the June 2nd primary election. It's already been moved from April to June. Entirely by mail. because of fears that the coronavirus would pose threats to poll workers and voters. What are your thoughts about that? We saw what happened in Wisconsin a week ago.
Yeah, I support that. I mean, I'm a big supporter of vote by mail. And in a perfect world, everybody would vote by mail. I think the question some of the county folks are asking for is should we mandate it? And one of the reasons is that it would actually save counties money. The system that's in place right now is every Pennsylvania has the right to request a no excuse absentee ballot. You have 50 days to do that, but you have to send in an application and so that takes some processing, and then you have to get the actual ballots and send those back. Whereas if you mandated it and said, okay, we're just going to have a vote by mail rather than vote by machine, then the counties could basically forego the taking care of the applications and just send everybody an absentee ballot. And so you could vote by mail would not require anybody to come to the polls and be concerned about, because we have a lot of volunteers who make, I think just in Allegheny County alone, there are 4,000 poll workers it takes. And that's a lot of people who have a lot of concerns about their health. So, we're looking for the responsible thing to do. I don't think anybody wants to have pain and anguish that Wisconsin voters had to go through to vote. This is a democracy. We want people to be free to vote. And so I like the idea of a mail-in ballot. It would make it safer. The question is, how do we get to that point?
Just a couple of minutes left to go. I wanted to ask about the LCB. The fine wine and good spirit stores remain closed. many people seem to think they should be reopened. Is there any possibility that will be revisited? Because as far as I know, all other 49 states, you can still buy spirits and booze and things like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. You can still buy wine and beer, obviously, in the grocery stores and the convenience stores. It's the hard stuff. What we hope to do and continue to hope to do is to make that available online. Again, just like any unemployment compensation, the online system, which was sort of dealing with 300 to 400 orders a day before this virus hit, has just been overwhelmed. I think the Liquor Control Board shut it down. I got them to open it back up again, and we're working to get to the point where we can process 15,000 or 16,000 orders a day. In the hopes that for home delivery, and that means asking some employees to come back, I think to about 100 or so, 200 or so of the fine wine and spirit stores to basically fulfillment centers, and get the shipments out as quickly as possible. Again, wine and beer is available now; those stores are open. The hard liquor is what is hard to get, and that is something that the online system, the web system, as in the next couple of days, as we get back to the point where we can actually fulfill most of the orders, I'm hoping 15,000 to 16,000 a day, that will satisfy the need for the folks who need to get things other than wine and beer.
Yeah, I've tried, and I've hit F5 countless times, and it refreshes, and it's still not available. So I think a lot of people are looking forward to that, because there's not a lot else to do right now for a lot of people.
It should be. Now, you didn't do that today, did you?
No, not yet. I'll do that when I go home.
Okay, because it should be up and right now. It's still the wait time is too long. But okay. You're right. Last week, and I tried just to see, and just went straight to try tomorrow or something. And the reason is they just turned it off.
Yeah.
And that was a mistake. So they're now working very hard to try to make it so that it is accessible. Obviously. There's some work to do to get it to ramp it up from a system that serves 300 to 400 or 500 a day to one that serves 15,000 to 16,000 a day, but they're working on it.
Governor Tom Wolf, we've run out of time. It's very good to have you on, and we look forward to speaking with you again.
Hey, thanks, Bill. It's always good to be with you. Stay healthy.
Thank you, too.
This has been a Keystone Conversation with Governor Tom Wolf. Replay this month's entire show and listen to past episodes on the free iHeartRadio app. Search for Keystone Conversation.